జయం విశుభాయ బ్రహ్మంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అశ్రోత్రశల శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీల ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద బ్రహ్మంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశల శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవృందానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగామాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభువాద్ నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలి శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునీనాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీ అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయద పత్ర నేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణై జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదే వసుదం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతట జయద్రత జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన స్వల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత మంగళ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యై సవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదేర్ గాయందియం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. నద్వేష్ట్యకుశలం కర్మ కుశలే నానుషజ్జతే త్యాగీ సత్వసమావిష్టే మేధావీ చిన్న సంశయాః. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ దట్ త్యాగీ సత్వసమావిష్టం. సత్వసమావిష్టం మీన్స్ దట్ సత్వగుణం హ్యాస్ ఎంటర్డ్ ఇన్ టు హిమ్ స్ట్రాంగ్లీ So Tugunam has got into that person very strongly. That's what that means. Tyagi Sattva Samavishtam. Sattva Samavishtam means Sattvagunam enters into a person in a strong way. When Sattvagunam has not entered, we can see what happens. There are so many things to explain. Actually, in spiritual life, especially in Vedantam, they talk about this to such a length that we really start thinking about ourselves. Where do we stand in all these things? You can see mainly the problem is that Krishna has spoken so many things in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And even though you may hear it, it's not understood properly. There the problem begins first. What Krishna has spoken, we have understood something else. What Krishna is saying, we didn't understand. We understood something else. Vivarita Bhavana, it's called. Totally opposite things we understand from Bhagavad Gita. And then we keep on going like that. And then what happens is that lot of these things what we heard, we haven't got the clarity about it inside. Yeah, we have not understood it properly, therefore there is no clarity inside. It stays for some time and then it goes. It is not staying with us. Even though Krishna has spoken and acharyas have given so detailed understanding of these things, even when we hear it, it is not going in and staying there. It is leaving us after some time. Why does that happen? That is due to what we call it as chitta shuddhi. If we don't have chitta shuddhi, the symptom of not having chitta shuddhi is that what we have heard does not stay. It goes. It's not staying. If so many things we have talked and talked about it, but it hasn't had its impact on us. And the reason for that is absence of chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi, vasana kshayam, they call it another way of saying that. So that vasana kshayam happens, chitta shuddhi happens. That is when this sattva samavishtam happens. Sattvagunam enters into a person powerfully. The result is that whatever he has heard, it will start working in him. After all, whatever Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, it has to be translated into our life, isn't it? Otherwise, what's the point in knowing it on a theoretical level? Just knowing the verses and just knowing the meaning is not worth good enough. It has to change our swabhavam. Swabhavam has to change. That swabhavam is not changing though. It's not changing. We are still holding on to our own beliefs and customs and our nature. We don't want to give that up. And simultaneously on the other side, we are hearing Bhagavad Gita constantly. So the reason is that it is not having its impact on us. What it is required, it is supposed to change inside, the change is not happening. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. Nadveshti akushalam karma, kushale nanushajare, tyagi sattva samavishtam, medhavi chinna samshaya. That chinna samshayam has to come. Chinna samshaya means that doubt should not come back again once you have heard it. Again and again, the same question after people 20 years, 30 years, they are asking the same question again and again. Why is that? Medhavi chinna samshaya. Krishna is saying that samshayam must go from inside. Otherwise, it has not affected you. Whatever we have heard has not had its impact, or it is not working, or it is not staying inside. It is leaving you. After every time we hear, probably stays for a few hours, and then it has left us. And then again, therefore, the same doubts comes back again. So that's what he's talking about. Sattva samavishtam. Sattvagunam enters into a person powerfully. Medhavi chinna samshaya. He has no more doubts about it. To such an extent, Bhagavad Gita has to penetrate inside. Otherwise, it is no good. So we are talking about that. As I mentioned, and its effect can be seen as well. Its effect can be seen. In life, prarabdham will bring a lot of problems. Even for great personalities, prarabdham will come and hit them. But on the one side, prarabdham will be working. On the other side, the knowledge is working. And when the knowledge is working, even when the prarabdham is bad, that is a symptom of that. That medhavi chinna samshaya. If a person has become doubtless, without any doubt, the symptom of that is there. Because prarabdham, nobody knows what it is. Everybody has prarabdham. And prarabdham comes for people in different forms. I mentioned many examples before. Palpabhada, one of the topmost disciples, Acharya Swami, he had prarabdham. Heavy prarabdham he had. And he had to, due to that power of prarabdham, vegam it's called, the vegam, the power of prarabdham, he had little difficulty with Suresh Acharya about the commentary on the Gaudapada Acharya's Mandukya Gariga, about writing that. And he got a little bit disturbed over that. Of course, they were all very highly learned people, but they also had prarabdham. Prarabdham they couldn't avoid. Palpabhada had a prarabdham to go through, and in that process, this Sureshwara and Palpabhada had this difference of opinion about certain things, right? And later on reflection, Palpabhada felt, I shouldn't have spoken like that to Sureshwara. Sureshwara was the Acharya of Sringeri. Palpabhada was the Acharya of Dwaraka. So he decided to go to perform some atonement. He decided to go on a pilgrimage, just to move away from the situation. Acharya Swami told him, don't go. When your guru is here, you stay with him. After his time, you can do whatever you have to go, wherever you have to go. But when he is here, stay with him. And take the and otherwise it will, that opportunity will be lost for the proper guidance and help, right? So and presence in guru, that itself is your pilgrimage, actually being living in his presence, right? And for a few days Palpabhada stayed quiet. He didn't say anything. He's thinking. Remember, Palpabhada is the one who perfected Narasimha Mandram. And on his call, Narasimham will appear. To that extent, Narasimham was under he was such a great devotee of Narasimhamurti, right? So, so that power that is forcing from inside is prarabdham. Prarabdham is causing this problem for him. So he came back to Acharya Swamiji and told him, I'm not feeling peaceful here. And even in the association of Acharya Swamiji, he was feeling this problem. Right? So what is prarabdham? Prarabdham is nothing but the power of our mind to act against our desire. You may have a spiritual desire to do something good, or to engage in sadhana, or to do something helpful for your spiritual life, right? But if prarabdham is strong, it will come through your mind and it will push you out from that. Yeah, there are so many examples of this. There was one Madhava Swami. He is from Kerala, but he spent a lot of his life with Ramana Maharshi. And he tried very hard. He spent a lot of time with Ramana Maharshi. And he was feeling fine while staying there, right? And then he felt that he first started feeling a bit restless afterwards, right? So he left Tirunamalai and went to Kumbhakonam and Tanjavur and all these places, visiting from one temple to another. There's so many nice temples, big temples there, right? And he will go and stay in all these temples for a few days in one temple, few days in another temple, in that way. Ultimately he got crazy. He couldn't, he doesn't know what happened. He was going crazy, right? So, then Maharshi told him, Madhava, you stay with me, don't go. stay here, he said. But because of the power of Prarabdham, he couldn't stay. Maharshi told him to stay with him, but he couldn't stay because of the Prarabdham inside, right? And just like what happened to Palpavada has happened to him as well, right? Then he traveled and traveled, walking all these places, one temple to another, and then he reached Rameshwaram at the end, right? And so this way things have happened to people in spiritually good state they were. But the interesting thing to notice there was, even though these things were happening due to Prarabdham, on the other side, because of the knowledge that has gone in previously, there are two different things. Prarabdham works its own way, but if the knowledge side is powerful, you won't get trapped into that Prarabdham completely, right? So when Padmavada came back, Acharya Swamiji smiled at him. Why? Why did he smile? The smile was that Acharya Swamiji knew what has happened with Padmavada, right? Padmavada went to a hard time. He had some relations in Trichy who gave him a lot of trouble. And practically they tried to kill him, poison him, but he didn't die. He survived all that. And Acharya Swamiji knew all these things. So when he came back, he told Padmavada that even though I see the Prarabdham you had gone through, but the Shastram has not failed, he said. Shastram didn't fail. Because Padmavada was a very learned person, right? And that Shastram is working in him, even though Prarabdham is bothering him. Shastram is working. This is how it should happen to anybody. Nobody knows anyone's Prarabdham, any one of us. We don't know what our Prarabdham is. But if the Shastram is strong inside, even though Prarabdham will give all the trouble, Shastram will ultimately take control. That's what it is proving that. Yeah. You won't be able to get rid of Prarabdham. That's not possible. That will come in its own. It's a vegam it is. It's a force that comes from inside through the body, through the mind, and through hangaram and everywhere. It comes and pushes us to do things, right? So, Prarabdham, due to that, disturbances come, right? Ordinary person, when Prarabdham comes like that, he will get swept off by that. He won't be able to withstand that. When Prarabdham comes, he won't be able to withstand that. He'll be get completely dragged or swept away by that. In persons like them, what happens is that their problems are there, but they can stay separate from that, unaffected by the Prarabdham, which is a big thing. A big thing, right? So, the distress won't go. That will still be there, right? So, but they will be able to stay away from that. That independence they will have, right? What is that knowledge? And that knowledge is what Krishna refers to as Sattva Samavishta. Sattva Samavesham, it's called. See that? Tyagi Sattva Samavishta. Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. So, in order to Sattva Samavesham to happen, if Sattva Samavesham happens, Sattva Samavishta or Sattva Samavesham happens, that knowledge inside will show its power. It will be very strong inside, right? Acharya Swamiji says here, Sattva Samavishto Yada Sattvena Alpa Viveka Vijnana Hetuna Samavishtaha Samvyapta Samyukta Iti Etat. The symptom of that is, Sattva Samavishta is, he knows that he is the soul, not this body. He can disconnect with the body, within himself, right? Then he knows the difference between Atma and Anatma, what that is, right? Which we call as Atma Anatma Vivekam. He will have that. Due to that, that Sattva Gunam works in him. That is what that Sattva Samavishta means, right? Sattva Samavishta Yada Sattvena Atma Anatma Viveka Jnanam will be there in him. Hetuna samavishta samvyapta samyukta iti etat. So what does that mean? It means that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, and in this way, like Palpavada recognized this when this was happening in him, right? Ajari Swamiji put his hands on his head and told him, don't worry about it. Prarabdham has come. Why you worry about it? Prarabdham, let it come and go. It will go also. It won't stay, right? And that prarabdham to happen, even though I told you not to go, you left still. Because prarabdham pushed you out from here. If you had stayed here, then prarabdham may not have been able to affect you the way it should have happened. So powerful is this prarabdham. To understand prarabdham, that when prarabdham comes and when it sweeps us off from our plans and our determination in spiritual life, you get affected by that. Yeah. So that's what he was saying here. You went to so many places, got into a lot of trouble, and that prarabdham is over now. You are back again, and you still have the same knowledge what you had when you left this place. And it is working. That's what he said. Appreciated that, right? And it is, even Ajari Swami told him, this similar thing is what made Ramachandra to run after Sita, after the deer, Maricha. Even though Lakshman told Sita Devi, this Maricha is sent by Ravana and he is trying to take you, to kidnap you. And when she heard the cry asking for Lakshmana, Lakshmana, he was calling from the forest. Sita Devi pushed Lakshmana, go, why don't you go and help him? Lakshmana said, that is a duplicate one doing from there. It's not Ramachandra, doesn't need my help. He can look after himself, he said. No matter how much Lakshmana tried to convince Sita Devi, Sita Devi won't agree. Sita Devi started abusing Lakshmana for not taking care of Ramachandra and not being loyal to him. And that started hurting him, hurting Lakshmana. And Lakshmana says to Sita Devi, if you force me like this, if something happens, you cannot blame me for that. And exactly that thing happened, prarabdham. It has to happen that way, right? So, and then Ramachandra running after this Maricha later on. All these rest of the things happen. It is all an indication of the prarabdham. But the difference is, they also have, when it comes through Ramachandra and all, it's a different story, because there the knowledge is perfect. Knowledge is full in him. So prarabdham won't affect it. This is for us to learn from their life. Ramachandra's life is for us to learn from that. To show to us, if you come to this world, you can expect all these things. That's a lesson. So, similarly, nothing happened to Padmavada after going through all that struggle, right? So, then he came back to his normal, settled down very much, right? only thing what happened was that the Medha Shakti, that power of absorption of the Shastram, in some of the things what he had before, he lost it. To some extent he lost it, right? He wanted to write the book, but when he wanted to write, the buddhi is not working like the way it did before, right? But before he left, he had spoken all these things to Acharya Swamiji before he left, right? And Acharya Swamiji is like a mirror. Whatever he has spoken, it will come back, reflect back, right? So Acharya Swamiji told him, I remember everything what you have told me. Write down, he said. So he repeated everything what Padmavada told Acharya Swamiji in that commentary, what he wanted to write. And that book is still available, Panchapadika it is called. Yeah. So, that is how Padmavada's articles, or what he wrote, actually Acharya Swamiji spoke and then Padmavada wrote it down again. And that's how that Panchapadika came, right? So, so that prarabdham is called akushalata. See what Krishna uses the word? Nadveshti akushalam karma. Akushalam. This akushalam is this. That prarabdham that comes like that. Right? And then akushala prarabdham, akushalam it is, when that comes, you won't be able to hate it and escape from that, right? prarabdham means what? What is destined to happen. What is destined to happen, right? That which works in your life with a tremendous force, you can see yourself, you are not in control at that time. You are not in control. It comes with such a force and you start thinking that, what am I supposed to do? You lose the control on yourself, right? So that is why that word is prakarshena arabdham. That's what is called prarabdham. Prakarshena arabdham means it has already started. As soon as you got this body, the prarabdham has begun, right? And it comes very forcefully in your life, and like water comes when there the dam breaks, how it comes, right? Prarabdham, one example of that is this body itself. It's this body itself, right? What can you do about this body, right? And from the day you were born, problems have started coming, is it not? The day we were born, the problems have also started coming, right? For this physical body, you can't do anything about it, right? And when this body is thrown at us, it comes and takes over us, right? It is like a huge load has come and fallen on us, right? And what all has come in that load, we don't know. A big load has been downloaded on us, and we don't know what has all come with that load, right? And because body is like kshetram, Krishna says, isn't it? Idam sharirin kavandaya kshetram iti abhidiyade. Kshetram it is, right? And in this body, everything what you have to suffer through in this life, all that is fed into it. It's already fed into that body, right? When we get a body, already what you have to live in this world and what all you have to go through is already, that is already fed into the body. It's already there, right? And it is not online, I'm saying. It's already in the computer, they say that, isn't it? It's already there, the virus. Something like the virus, right? It is in the system itself. It's not coming from the line, virus. The body is already complete with prarabdham. This is the difference. Body means there is some prarabdham with that. You have to take it like that. When you take the body, you have to accept that there is some prarabdham with that body. That's the way you have to look at the body. And then prarabdham will come in its full force at different sometimes, right? And and you cannot do anything about it, right? Suppose you are connected from the world outside, disconnected from the world, if you cut it off, and still it will work. Even if you cut off from everything, it will still work, right? Just like in the computer, even if you switch off, disconnect with the outside, with the internet, independently if you want to work with the computer, disconnected from the system, from the internet, still the computer won't work because it has got this problem, right? So that is the problem. You cannot do anything about it. It's already there. It has gone in already, right? In the same way in this body, prarabdham is already there. And that is what Krishna is talking about, kushalam akushalam. Yeah? Kushalam, kushalam akushalam, sometimes it is good and sometimes it's very bad, right? So all these things, one who has realizations and one who has this alpa analpa vivekam, that's the most important thing. Alpa analpa. This is all happening to analpa. Atma is not affected. That knowledge is strongly in him. Right? And such a person, he is saying, medhavi chinna samshaya. He won't have a doubt. One who has capacity to discriminate between Atma and Anatma, and if that knowledge is sound and strong inside, even if the power of the prarabdham, the force is so strong that it comes and changes and alters his life, this knowledge what is inside, the discriminative power, will take control, and eventually when the prarabdham runs out, he will come back to his stable state, its stable conditions, right? So, that is what he is saying here. Viveka vijnana hetuna samavishtaha samvyaptaha samyukta iti etat. Right? So, because he has got good prajna, he has got good consciousness, right? Because he has heard Bhagavad Gita well, Vedanta Shravanam, he has good Shravanam, and he has Atma Tattva Jnanam inside strong, and with that knowledge, Vidwan, he is Vidwan Medhavi, Chinna Samshaya, he has no doubt about that. So if you reach that stage, then even Prarabdham cannot do anything to you. Prarabdham will come and it will go, but you won't be affected by that. Because who is the person who getting these doubts every time? Ahangaram inside. Is it not? It's not Atma. Atma doesn't have any doubt. If you have that strong realization inside, that doubts won't come. Because by the knowledge, what you're actually doing is this Ahangaram is disappearing from inside. More and more doubts are coming means Ahangaram is still working. That's a symptom of that. Ahangaram is still working inside. That's why these doubts are coming, right? So, and this he knows very well. This Ahangaram itself is not real. It's only a reflection of Antaryami in the Vasana. So, again, he mentions here, Atha evacha medhavi medhaya alpajnana lakshana samyuktam Tadvan Medhavi. Medhavitual Eva Chinna Samshaya. He has no more doubts about anything. This doubt, as long as we have doubts, it will keep coming back again. I mean, to such an extent we have to get established in the knowledge. Right? Chinna avidya kritaha. Because of avidya only this samshayam is coming. Samshayam is coming because of avidya. Samshayo yasya. Atma Swarupa Avastanam Eva Param Nishrayasa Sathanam Na Anyal Kinjit Idi Evam Nishchayena Chinna Samshaya. Chinna Samshaya. Right? So, the symptom of such a person is that when these doubts have completely gone away, then the symptom of that person is he will not stick to anything. He will not stick to anything. In the sense that, what does sticking mean? Sticking means, when he does a karma, he thinks this karma is good, and this karma is bad. In that way. And if this karma is good, he likes it. And if this karma is bad, he hates it. So this loving-hating business of karma has gone from him. He is not looking at karma, something he likes and he dislikes. The one I like, I get attached to it. The one I dislike, I hate it. Some people say like that, isn't it? I hate doing that. I hate doing this, they say. And similarly, some come, I love that. So this loving, hating business all goes away from inside. Yeah. So, karma's secret is this. No karma is good and no karma is bad. Actually, right? So, in society, they give importance to these things. But in self-realization, it has no meaning. In society, we consider some karma is good and some karma is bad, right? And if you give respect to some karma and don't give respect to some other karma, that itself is wrong, actually. To consider that some karma is good and some karma is bad is a wrong thing to do, right? So, if you do like that, if you give respect to one person's karma, then everybody else wants to do that karma. They don't want to do the other karma, right? So, So that itself is a wrong thing. It is a fault of the society. Society does all these kind of things, right? Actually, there is no good karmam, that's not bad karmam. All karmams are, as long as you don't get attached to it, you're safe. Otherwise, karmam will cause problem. That's the first principle to understand. We studied that in the Bhagavatam also yesterday. What Prabuddha was saying, is it not? Yeah. So, karmam has a problem with everybody, but in that karmam, we differentiate good and bad, and the good ones we get attached to, and the bad ones we think, and we start hating them, right? So, for example, in the olden days, nowadays we have flush toilets and all that, isn't it? But in the olden days, there were no facilities like this. The flush toilets didn't exist. Someone has to come and clean the toilets. And his occupation was looked down by everybody else, saying that, oh, he has to do this work about that. Hmm? Similarly, garbage collectors. Even though council has given them a nice title, waste managers. Waste managers they are called, who comes and picks up your bins. It's called waste manager. So, they've given them good titles and glorified them like that. But people generally think, oh, it's not a very good job, right? And similarly, one who is building the roads and road construction and things like that, right? And in this way, there are jobs like that which are looked down upon by the society, right? And similarly, businessman who does business, right? And then the military people, Kshatriyas, and then the Brahmanas who are doing the temple worship and all that, right? They are all equal, actually. Strictly speaking, they are all equal. But somehow or the other, society is saying, this is higher and this is lower, right? And all of them has equal rights for liberation. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Whoever is doing whatever type of job they may be doing, they all have the right for liberation, right? No karmam is bad. No karmam is bad or good, right? What Krishna is trying to say through all this is, right? When we go to toilet, when we pass the stool, we are not finding any difficulty that it is coming from inside our body. It's not. That's what we are carrying with us. But once it has come out, we started looking at it in a different way. So, an incident happened for a sannyasi was there a long time back. And some people came there to see him. And the person had a small child, a very small child, brought with him. And that small child passed through there. At that time, there was no diapers or anything. These are all new things, isn't it? To cover up everything. That's the modern tendency, is to cover up everything and look everything very posh and nice. But nothing has changed, actually. The child is still passing stool. Child was passing stool then also. But then the child passed stool. This sannyasi, what he did, he went up and brought the water and cleaned the place and did everything what has to be done, right? So the persons who were there, they felt very bad about it. People who come to visit him, they said, oh, sannyasi shouldn't be doing all these things. They were thinking like that. So then the sannyasi asked him, are you not doing this every day yourself at home? What's the difference? He said, you're going to toilet every day, you're cleaning yourself, and you're cleaning the toilet also. So what does the difference it makes? Right? So that is what is called this Alpadarshanam. Right? So he is not feeling any difference that when he is doing it and he is doing it for somebody else, the same cleaning process. He was only cleaning it up because the child does not know what to do. Child just did that and he cleaned up the place and he didn't feel bad about it because he is not looking at it anymore like that. So, and this approach like this is what he is saying here. Nadveshti akushalam karma. When akushalam karmam you have to do, nadveshti. You don't feel negativity inside. If you feel negativity, that means Krishna said you are not pure. That is Krishna's point. You are not pure. You still have these impurities inside. Nadvaishtya kushalam karma. You don't have to think like that. This is good and this is bad. Any karma for that matter. So this problem is there in the world, modern world particularly. People start saying, oh, he is very clean, he is brahminical and all, they'll say like that. And therefore he is not supposed to do all these things. And the people start differentiating in that way, right? And this, everybody has a different idea about this. People have different idea, right? So, you know, the Indians have gone to America. They built a temple there, right? In one place, one of the places, right? And then, after that, there was Lord Shiva's Shivalingam, they have installed, right? So, then they had performed Abhishekam for Shivalingam. They brought the water from some local river, whatever that was. They brought the water and performed the Abhishekam, right? Then, after the Abhishekam, that Tirtham, you're supposed to take it. But everybody said, oh, you shouldn't take it because that river water is very contaminated. You shouldn't take it. They perform the Abhishekam with that, but they can't take it inside because the water is contaminated. They were scared about that. So they did. Nobody took anything from that. So, you can perform Abhishekam, but you can't drink. That's very strange, isn't it? Because Shivalingam won't protest. Shivalingam doesn't, because they are only seeing like that. That's how they are. You see, this principle has gone into their head so much. Cleanliness, purity and all that. In the modern way, they are thinking. You know, chemicals are there, contamination is there in the water, and therefore you can't take it. You will get sick. You'll become impure. This way, the way our psyche changed. So they are saying, water we can use for Abhishekam, for Shivalingam, but you can't take it because that water is contaminated in there, right? After talking all these things, right, look at today. We get water you have to drink, you have to buy from these plastic bottles. And you have to drink that water, right? And we are thinking now, if it is bottled and sealed with a plastic cap like that, it's very pure. This false concept has gone into our head, right? Before these bottles came, what was there? Everybody drank the water from the well, right? Everyone pulled the water out of the well, and in some places even from the river they drank. You'll see Ganga River people standing water and drinking that. They don't have any problem with that. Now, most of the people think all that water is not clean. This water is clean now. Because it comes in the bottle and it is sealed, so it's pure. This false concept has got into our head, right? So, so it's all a belief only within your own mind, how you believe these things, right? So many times that Swamiji's, when they were traveling, that how do you, when you don't get any water, this was talking about the same Swamiji who cleaned up that child stool from the ground, right? So they asked him that, well, how do you manage when you travel for the water? He says, if I can't get any water, I'll get the water from the road. If there is any water, I'll take it and drink it, he said. Right? So, then they asked him, will there not be virus in that water, right? Swamiji says, cows are drinking that water when they are thirsty. They come and drink that water, right? All animals are drinking, and that's water that's collected from the rain, right? Some liquid is necessary for us, temporarily, right? So, He has practically removed this kushalam akushalam from his head. That's what he has done, right? Kushalam akushalam feeling from his head, he has taken it out, right? So, to get frightened because of that, pure, impure, shuddhi, ashuddhi, in that way, right? That over concern, we have to get it off from inside, right? And by doing things like this, you become free from this kind of problems within our own head, right? So, it shouldn't become too much into our psyche, right? What Krishna is saying, through higher knowledge, you should transcend this kind of negativity inside, right? And it is saying that, is what he is saying here, sattva samavishtam. Through proper sattva gunam, you should come out of these false concepts, like this about water, and about all kinds of things we have, is it not? We think that we are very clean and very pure, and because we are not clean and pure, that's why all the diseases are coming. It is not like that. That's some kind of misunderstanding what we have developed due to the modern education system, and due to our studying, too much chemistry has gone into the head, or too much biology has gone into the head, because of the problems only. That's all what it is, right? So, Anandamayima, she was very popular leader at that time, right? She says, that asked her that, you keep on saying everything is Atma, Atma, and you are taking all these kind of things, water from the river and the streams and everything, you are drinking. She said that, the animals are all coming and drinking that. Why can't I drink that water when they can drink the water, right? That has also got a body like ours, with kidney, liver and everything, right? And the thing is that the animals have identified with their body in that way, right? And because they have identified like that, their upadhis don't have any problem in accepting that. If you have a negative thought inside and then you go and drink that water, you will get sick. But because you have identified with that in that way, right? you are identifying with your body in this upadhi, right? So upadhi, because upadhi has changed, this different mindset has come. Animals are not feeling any problem. Animals are identifying with the body and they are able to drink that water. Animals doesn't have a mind to discriminate like this. They are thirsty, they went and drank the water, wherever it's available, they will drink. They'll go to rivers, they'll go, if the stream is flowing, they'll go and drink that water. But we find that difficult. We need something processed, otherwise we can't drink. It has come to that now. So upadhi changed in our, because we got a upadhi like this, and with our mind working, we created the problem for our own upadhi by doing this, right? So quite often in the olden days, when traveling and all, there were no bottled water. Sometimes, and later on, the tap water started coming. Bottled water is the latest one. In the railway stations, if you have traveled in India, you will know that often we won't get water, because long journeys, if you have to travel long distances, right? Either you will carry some water with you, but how much water can you carry? And if you have a 2 days journey, so much water. People used to carry in the pitcher, isn't it? Yeah. Lot of water. You will see in Delhi, all the places, they'll have a big earthen pots, and they'll carry water in that. For the whole journey, they'll carry water in that. But everybody may not be able to do that. So what they'll do, when it stops at important stations, the train, they'll go and put the hand in, and from the tap water they will drink. Tap water they'll drink. They were not getting sick, all of them. Nobody was getting sick in that way. There was no bottled water. But then we kept on refining it and thinking that all that's not pure. This is the only one pure. And companies who are making it, they start realize that there is money to be made through this. So, and slowly it got into, now everybody has this one in the hand all the time. Mobile phone and this one. Shankar, conscious and disc in the hand. Mobile phone one hand and on this another hand. It's become like that now. Anyone you travel in India, you see this. All of them has got this one and that one in the hand. So if you have able to identify with that water that it won't damage your life, you will be able to drink. So much water we have drunk from the lakes and the tanks and the rivers and the streams, we didn't get sick at that time. Now we are not able to drink. Why? Because this has gone in strongly inside. You can't drink from the streams. You can't drink. It's not that overnight it's all got contaminated. But the consciousness inside, we have this kushalam akushalam mentality has created this problem in us. And Krishna is saying you have to transcend that negativity inside. What you have created yourself. Not dveshti akushalam karma. And kushale nanushajjade. When that means that you are saying this is good and this is bad. That mindset itself is wrong. Krishna is saying this. Unless you go above than that, you won't develop sattvagunam. Krishna's point is that. How do you go above that? That's what Krishna said in the Bhagavatam. That you do not Vishwa megalpagam pashyan prakritya purushayana cha parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi Vishwa megalpagam pashyan prakritya purushayana cha. So transcending this thing is a big thing in life due to our conditioning in the society, because society made all these things in us. We are part of the society. Society created this mindset in us. This is all clean. This is all pure. The other one is all bad. And it's impure in this way. Right? Whereas if you have transcended this negativity inside, then you will be able to live like anybody else in this world. Right? Ayurvedam, they have a statement about this. Ayurvedam will say like this. If you are taking nectar, even if you are taking nectar, if you have a conflict inside, even the nectar will become poison. It is your mind also has a big role in all these things when you're taking the medicines, right? And whereas if you are taking poison even inside, and in your inside, if you don't have any conflicts inside, the poison can even turn out to be nectar. It does not mean that you should go and eat anything and drink anything what you like, because we are not matured for that. But something happens in our vyavaharam in this world, right? You should not get too much over-concerned thinking that this is right and this is wrong. Similarly, this is pure and this is impure. And you shouldn't struggle with that, suffer with that in your life, right? And when day comes, when you become bedridden or when you become very sick, right? Even then there is, what will you do at that time? All your rules, what you are following your whole life, you won't be able to implement at that time, right? So, even at that time, this, if you have this conflict inside, it will come out that moment, right? So, without having any conflict inside, able to stay in this world is satyam. That's what Krishna is saying there. Without any conflict inside, this is good and this is bad, this is right and this is wrong, this is pure and this is impure. In this way, constant conflicts inside, without those conflicts, able to live in this world is satyam. Na dveshti akushalam karma kushalam nanushajjade tyagi sattva samavishtam medhavi chinna samshaya. That chinna samshaya means you have transcended that. That conflict stage, you have transcended that, right? So, this is the secret. This is the secret of that, right? because all these rules, vidhi, nishedham, Krishna is saying in the Ekadasham, isn't it? You have to transcend them. To see good and bad itself is bad, he said. Remember that? Guna dosha, dhashir dosha, he said. That itself is wrong, he said. But we read the words, but we behave totally opposite. We understand the words when Krishna is saying that, guna dosha, dhashir dosha, that you know it is dosham. But, and to think like that, this is good and this is bad, itself is bad, he says. To think something is good and something is bad, itself is bad. That's Krishna's statement, right? But that we are not able to follow that through. On the other hand, every time we are judging, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, this is pure, this is impure, in this way, right? So this causes a lot of problems in these days. You know, a lot of old Indians are going to America to live with their children. They go, right? And while living in India, they had no problems. They were settled with everything the way it was in India, right? But after going to America, they got into trouble. When they went there, they saw there that everywhere, the children are grown up there. So for their concept of cleanliness is different from those who are living in India, right? And when they went and looked into their toilets and all, it's all spotlessly clean. Unlike in India, Indian toilets are not that clean. In their eyes, that's what they felt, right? And they were also handed over a lot of paper to clean after going to toilet, right? Indians are not used to this paper business. So when they got there, they were first trained in toilet, how to go to toilet with the toilet paper, right? And their children were used to the toilet business with the paper. So they handed over a lot of paper, and these people were not happy when they got there. All this paper was given to them. So they had problems there when they got there. Anyway, after all, it's their children, so they have to adjust. They adjusted somehow, and then they come back. When they came back, they want paper here. When they got back to India, they want paper again to clean. They can't go to toilet without paper. So the toilet industry has also grown along with that. So this is all going on in this world. Krishna is saying here, Nadvashti akushalam karmam, kushalam manushajjade. This is what he is trying to tell us. All your, these called habits, what you pick up from the society, thinking that, when they got to America, they started thinking, this is the perfect way to go to toilet, with the paper, and cleaning everything. Cleaning with water is not clean enough. It is with the paper if you clean it, and that you have to get the best toilet paper. You know the advertisement, what they put on the after all it's toilet paper, is. But the way they advertise about the toilet paper, when you see that, you can see how these people are, and how we are also carried away by that. And we also keep repeating to others that this toilet paper is superior to the other one. But doing the same job, right? So, all this Krishna calls it as avidya. This is all avidya only, right? And you have gone beyond all these things, right? These people, when they come back now, when they see water, it has become impure now. Ashuddham, they say, with water. It is not Shuddhi. Shuddhi is with paper now, not with water. Before they went, Shuddhi was with paper. What, they used to make fun of you people using the paper. We used to make fun of them. But now we make fun of those who are using water for cleaning. Instead, with the paper is considered to be clean, right? So, another thing is, in the modern society, bathroom is very important. Isn't it? And in the older society, kitchen was important, not bathroom. Kitchen was important, right? Now, toilet is inside the house, kitchen is sometimes outside, built separately. In the traditional homes, in the past, kitchen is the center of everything. Kitchen is the temple room, actually, because that's where the prime factor, the food, is prepared. And the purity of the kitchen will have an immediate effect on everyone in the household. So therefore kitchen was given all the importance. Now kitchen we have put it outside, or we get it delivered from the Deliveroo who comes from the you know, the people who, it's not important anymore. The toilet should be clean. It should be right, kept very clean with the golden taps and all the facilities, right? So all this is ishtam anishtam, karmam kushalam akushalam. This vibhirida bhavam about these things, vibhirida jnana, dvaita nivrti, right? It is, you see, to get rid of these things from inside, if you look at the mantram in the Vedam, you will see how you have to become free from this kind of things. You know that verse we recite when we doing the when we do the different rituals. Om apavitro pavitrova sarva vasu sarvada smarit pundarikaksham bahya abhyantara shuchi. What does it mean? That whatever we do in this pavitram apavitram, purity, pure and impure, is our mind that has created. And mantram is saying there, yes, smarit pundarikaksham. As soon as I remember Krishna, bahya abhyantara shuchi, outside and inside, I am pure. If I have thought about Krishna. In other words, I have transcended that pavitram, apavitram in our mind. By remembering Krishna, I have become free from that. So you will see this in the deity worship, and all this is chanted regularly, is it not? Om apavitro pavitrova sarva vasu sarvada yasmarit pundarikaksham tada abhyantara shuchi bahya abhyantara shuchi. All this. That mantram itself is a proof of this. He is teaching us that you may have so many conflicts inside with various things in your, how do you call it, in your deep inside, you have developed certain convictions and you are living on that. They are all against, they are all dvaita buddhi. The dvaita nivrti has to come from there. Right? All these verses are for to bring shanti inside, to come out of these conflicts. Right? Some things will be pavitram, some things will be apavitram. Right? One who remembers Pundarikaksha, Krishna, and he is pure inside or outside. That is the process for purification. Thinking about Krishna. That is how you get purified. Not by the water or the paper. That's a misunderstanding. Right? So, these are in the elaborate rituals you will find in the temples, but not so much nowadays here. But in the traditional temples, if you go with the darbha, they will sprinkle water on everywhere for this reason only. So, therefore, in karmam, the first thing to understand is that karmam is perfection. That concept has to get out of our head. Karmam is never perfect. Sometimes you see people, they get so wound up on that. What I've done is not perfect. I want to make it perfect and perfect and perfect. In that way, right? So, karmam is a perfection. That idea has to leave our head, from our head, right? Similarly, good karmam, bad karmam, pure, impure, that is not the important thing, right? Niyata karma, that is more important. That means whatever karma has come into your life, out of your prarabdham or a destiny, right? And that is good for him. He do that, right? After saying this, so Krishna has covered a lot of things in that verse. Na dveshtya kushalam karma, kushale nanushajade, tyagi sattva samavishtam, medhavi chinna samshayaham. That with knowledge, one should transcend these things, right? And he becomes medhavi, he becomes in control, right? And all kinds of anxiety leaves him. So this is why Karma Yogam says here that he becomes free from the entanglement of the soul through repetition of birth and death, all through the practice of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga purifies a person in this way. He becomes free from this kind of problems, what we have within ourselves, right? And he comes to that stage, says what is called Naishkarmya, right? So, Iti edat pura uktasya karma yogasya prayojanam anena shlogena uktam. So, karma yogam's benefit is Krishna is talking about. This situation spoken in verse 10, to get there, karma yogam is required. That's how you get there, to that state. Yeah. So, yeah. How do you get free from that? He says, Ya puna adhikrata san dehalma abhimanitvena dehabrad ajnaha. Any karmam you have performed with identification with the body is ajnanam. It has created avidya in you. It has built up avidya inside. Yeah. Abhadir atma kartrutva vijnanadaya aham karta iti nishchita buddhi tasya ashesha karma parityagasya ashakyatvat karma phalatyagena chodita karmanushtane eva adhikara natatyage iti edam artham darshayidu maha. Ajnani thinks that atma is doing karma. And he thinks that atma has to do karma. And karma is a part of atma. That way ajnani takes it, avidya, right? Not knowing that atma has nothing to do with the karma. This the impetus for doing karma is not coming from the soul. It is your vasanas are pushing you to do that. But we are not aware of that. When you are doing karma, you are thinking, I am doing it. Where is that coming from? You are not conscious that it is coming from your vasana and prarabdham. You are aware, thinking that it is coming from the self. Right? So not knowing that, he is unable to come out of karma. We talked, you see, Buddha said yesterday, is it not, about karma. That karma, what karma can do, right? And he mentioned there, Krishna is also saying the same thing. Karma has to happen. Wherever Krishna has put us in whatever situation, that karma has to happen. But if it is not done like karma yogam, then all it has done is a lot of problems. Vasana, a lot of vasanas created, means a lot of new bodies we will have to accept in later course of time, right? So that is what he said, right? And after saying that, look at the next verse, what Krishna has to say. Nahi deha brada shakyam tektam karmanyasheshada yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyade. So one leads to another. Yeah, one leads to another. He's saying, Nahi deha brada shakyam tektam karmanyasheshada yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyade. Krishna is saying there that karmam you cannot give up. This is the problem with karmam, right? Because if you have a body, means you have karmam to do. Once you have got a body, it means you have karmam to do. Karmam, you cannot escape from that. Karmam has to happen, right? But karma bhalam, if you can give up, then you can become free from that, the effect of karmam on you. How karmam created vasana inside us, right? And this is why Bhagavata Dharmam begins with this karma yoga only. Karma yoga is a whole, and that's where we are failing. We are failing there, and then we are going and doing bhakti sadhana. When karma yoga itself, you have not managed to free yourself from that problem. Isn't it? Bhagavata dharma means karma yoga plus bhakti is Bhagavata dharma. You see, what Krishna has done is that, okay, in this age, Kali, people don't have the knowledge of the Vedam, and they are not able to understand the Vedic injunctions, Upanishads and all the other rules, so Varnashrama Dharma, all collapsed, right? Knowing all these things, only Krishna has brought Bhagavata Dharma here, right? he spoke Bhagavad Dharma for this reason, knowing well that in Kali Yuga people will be bereft of all Vedic knowledge and also Varnashrama Dharma, and the whole society will be chaotic. And even in that situation, a process by which one can come out of the cycle of birth and death, opportunity for liberation. That's what Krishna has given us through Bhagavad Dharma. And that Bhagavad Dharma is dependent on these things. Karma Yoga first. And then after that, the Bhakti Sadhana or Jnana Sadhana, whatever one can perform according to his samskaram, what he does, right? So, Krishna is saying here that, Nahi Dehapradana Shakyam, Tektam Karmani Asheshada, Yastu Karma Phalatyagi, Satyagi Bichadhiya Abhidhiyade. Right. One has to give up, he said. What has to be given up? Karma. Karma has to be given up, right? How do you give up karma? And that's where the question comes, right? Karma, when you do, there is a problem. What is that? Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva will be there. I am the doer and the results must come. Apart from that, there will be Ragadvesha. If the results are very good, Ragam will come. If the results are very bad, Dvesham will come. See, all one leads to another. Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, first problem. Then Ragadvesham, another problem. This is all coming from karma. It's all coming from karma. Right? So, how to transcend karma? That's the question. Right? For that, Krishna says, Ashesha karma phalatyagam. Yes, so karma phalatyagam. That's the way. That's the only way you can transcend karma. Karma phalatyagam. Right? And that is called sannyasam in another way. Right? How is that possible? Krishna is saying, one who is keeping a body, he is called a dehabrat. I've got a body, so I'm a dehabrat. You all have a body, so you all are dehabrat. We are all dehabrat. Because this body is our property. What we have got, right? So, dehabrat, or one who has a body, right? And when you have a body, you cannot completely give up karma. With the body it happens, right? So, then the only way to escape from this karma is that you hand over the results to Krishna, somehow or the other. There is no other way of escaping from this karma, right? And Krishna is saying here, he is a tyagi. That's what he is saying here. Nahi dehadrujam shakyam tektum karmani asheshata. To completely give up karma is difficult. It's not possible. Because you are dehabrat. You got a body. Karma will be there. Then, yastu karma bhalatyagi. But one who gives up the results of that karma, satyagi vityadi vede. He is a sannyasi, he says. Tyagi. He is referring to a sannyasi. Right? Karma bhalatyagi. Otherwise, you cannot give up karma completely and escape from that. This is the crux of the point. Right? It is because of this that this statement, Vishishta Dvaitis and Dvaitis, they are saying to us that Jivan Mukti is not possible. It is from this that they have come to the conclusion, Mukti is only possible after death. You see? You know, in there, Vishishta Dvaitis will say you have to go to Vaikuntham, Dvaitis will say you have to go to Golokam or elsewhere to get liberated. Liberation is not possible here. That's their position. Their position is that Jivan Mukti is not possible because of this karma business, right? And they are saying, as long as you have karma, as long as you have a body, there is karma. Dehabrat, if you are dehabrat, you have karma, right? If you have a body, you have karma, which means there is results, right? And you have done karma till the end, and you are getting results till the end. And if you have done this karma till the end, there will be a rebirth again. At that time, Krishna is saying this, Nahi dehabrada shakyam tektum karmani asheshata. Deham or body, as long as you have that, it is difficult to live without doing karma, right? As long as you have the body, you'll be keep on doing karma, one thing or the other, right? So the hands and legs with which you are doing the karma, karma indriyam, five senses of action, right? And it will have this necessity to do karma because that has to be used for that, right? And if possible that the body is made to live in a way that karma will come to an end one day or the other, knowing very well that inside, right? For example, you have to do karma now, whichever body it is, right? Whatever that karma comes in our way, we have to do that, right? So, as long as you have the body, right, it is not possible, Krishna is saying, to live without doing karma. This is the first thing to take notice. As long as you have a body, it is not possible to live without doing karma. Karma is a part of that. Because karma and prarabdham is connected very strongly. We call it as prarabdha karma. It's called prarabdha karma, right? So prarabdham and karma is connected very strongly. And therefore, if prarabdham comes and something has to be done, you will do it at any cost. That's why Krishna told very boldly to Arjuna, Arjuna, whatever you may tell me that you are not going to fight, your prarabdham I know, it is meant to fight, and you will fight at the end. You will have to surrender there. You see how prarabdham works? Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, you can tell me that, you remember in the beginning, Arjuna said to Krishna, that all these are my relatives, my teachers, my guru, my this, my that and all. How can I fight them and all? He was asking. Krishna says, don't do all that now. I don't need all this show now. Because I know you well. You are a Kshatriya and this karma is there in you to fight. Your vasanas are strong and your prarabdham is there to fight. And you will fight. Whether I tell you Bhagavad Gita or not, you are going to fight, he said. But all what you can do now is to understand this principle, what is this proper understanding of karma. And that's how he starts with karma yoga to Krishna, right? So he says to him that, who is Dehabrit? Deham, one who has got a body, he is Dehabrit, right? You can see here, Nahi yasma Dehabrito Deham Vibharti iti Dehabrit. Dehalma abhimanavan dehabrut uchyate nahi vivegi sahi veda vinashinam ityadana kartrutva adhigaratva nivartita ataha tena tehabrata ajnena na shakyam tyektum sanyasidam karmani asheshada nisheshena tasmad ya tu ajnya adhikritaha nityani karmani kurvan karma bhalatyagi karma bhalabhi sandhi matra sanyasi satyagi iti abhidiyade Karmi api san idhi stuti abhiprayana. So, one who has got a body, Dehabrit, one who has got a body, right? And added to that, he is also thinking that body as the self. First mistake is, he has got a body. First problem, he has got a body. Second problem is, he is thinking that he is the body, right? And he does not know that his real identity, Antaryami or Atma, is eternal. It doesn't die, doesn't get destroyed, right? And he also is not conscious that his body is going to get destroyed. Both the things are not in him at that moment, right? None of us are conscious, are we, about death? Even now, I'm thinking I'll be living forever. I know that any moment can go, but it's not accepting inside. That avidya inside is so strong that I can't accept that I will die. It's the same problem all of us have got, is it not? Especially when you are young, you will never think that you will die, do you? But when you see all around your people, your age, and the changes that has happened to their bodies, and they are all leaving one after the other. In a few days, some people are gone, some people are gone afterwards. So one after, and if by all intelligence you can understand that you will also go very soon. That's all clear to us, but still finding it difficult to accept it, that you will die, right? So this is the Maya, power of Maya in us, that it has created this, right? So therefore Krishna is saying here that because of all this, identification with the body, added to that, identification with the body, right? So Atma doesn't die, no doubt about that. Shastram says so. We don't even know that we are the Atma. We only know that we are the body. And with this identification we are living, and we are thinking, this body won't die. Such is the power of that avidya inside. Yeah? So that's what Krishna is pointing out here. Then, because of all this, he is not able to give up karma. Because of these things. Because we are trapped in this situation, we are unable to give up karma, right? And therefore what do? We are categorized as ajnani. We are all ajnani because of this. And this ajnani, what he does is, he will continuously do karma. That's all he knows. He doesn't know anything else, right? And what Krishna points out here is that nityani karmani kurvan karma bhala tyagi karma bhalabhi sandhi matram sannyasi. He says, if that person who is in this situation, if he is able to give up the results of his karma, then he can be called as tyagi or a sannyasi. That is the first requirement. If he can give up the results of his karma, he is a sannyasi or he is a tyagi. Krishna says in that way. Yeah. So, so Vedantam is very precise on all these things, right? In Vedantam, there is no acceptance of a body even, that we have got a body. It's not acceptable to them in Vedantam, right? They are saying, there is no pramanam for the body, they are saying. You can see from where they are coming from, yeah? We think because we are used to the senses and the sensual perception. That's all we know, nothing else. So therefore for us, body is very real. And all personality, identity, everything is stamped on this body. And it has gone so deep inside. From Vedantam perspective, even for the body itself, there is no pramanam, he is saying. Because from their point of view, body is a product of prarabdham. And prarabdham finishes, body is gone. Why do you take it such a big thing out of this body? Accept it as such a big authority and such a important entity, body, right? So deham is concerned, there is no pramanam for that, right? And then they will say, look at sushupti, and what's happening in sushupti, right? Sushupti state, what is happening in our swarupam, in our identification, there is no body, there is no mind either. When you go into sushupti, there is no body for us, isn't it? Now I am saying, I've got this body in vacant state. Or to some extent in the dream state also. Dream state also, you are not conscious of the body more than the mind. Mind, you are conscious of the mind more. You are in the world of mind, isn't it? Only in vacant state, you are talking about your gross body. And you are thinking that this is your body and you are taking the ownership of the body. Once you go to sushupti, you have no identification with the body. Body may be lying there. Mind is there. But you have no identification with it. That means you are not possessing it. You are not the possessor at that time, right? So body, that means in your swarupam, in the sushupti, there is no gross body, there is no subtle body either, right? And once you have understood this tattvam well, the Jagrat Satvam Sushupti tattvam very well, right? Strictly speaking, we will also start thinking, to what extent are we connected with this body? How much do we have to do with this body, right? So, whereas The education what we got, what? Is all taught us the other way. Is it not? The body is the most important thing. Body should be protected. Body is everything. In that way, right? And this education, because of that, you are eternally full of body and mind. That's what you are thinking all the time, because of that, right? They are giving the example in different ways to make us clear at this point, right? All this requires some mananam also to understand it properly, what Vedantam is coming from, right? Suppose you are living in a house, a crow comes in, and crow sits on your roof for some time, and then it flies off afterwards. Crow is not taking any ownership of your house. It comes and sits there for some time, and it flies off. In the similar way, on the self, this body has come and stays for some time and it flies off. That's all how much connection you have with the body. That's the way to understand that. When a crow comes and sits on the roof, for some, any bird for that matter, it stays for some time. Sometimes it flies away, sometimes it comes back. And then once for all it flies away, it never comes back again. To such an extent, what that connection is between the crow and the house, it is up to that same way. Our connection with this body is also in the same level, in the same level, right? Including our mind as well, body and the mind, right? But all this is happening, the adhishtanam, or the foundation of all this is Atma. Atma is the adhishtanam, the self, not the house, the body, or the mind. They are not the adhishtanam. In the adhishtanam of the Atma, this thing called the body and the mind comes and then they leave. They come and then they leave, right? Comes and stays for, crow sits for a short period of time, body sits for a few hundred years or so, and then it goes away, like that, right? So, this is applicable to both body and the mind, right? In mind you can see all chitavrittis comes, different chitavrittis, right? And if there is no chitavritti, it goes to sleep. That's what the thing called mind does on us. Chitavritti, if you think about your own life, you go back from birth right up to now, how many chitavrittis have come and gone in your own mind? What all types of chitavrittis have come? They have come, they have stayed some time, and you can't even remember everything now. What kinds of chitavrittis have come and gone at different stages in life? In the same way, body also, it has come in the womb of the mother, and then it came out, and then it kept on changing all the way throughout life, right? And one day it disappears. This body disappears totally, right? You can't do anything about it. Neither the body nor the mind is real from the Vedanta point of view, right? And this body is not in the Atma. Atma is independent. Atma, which is our real identity, is independent, right? So, that is what he is saying here, that the tadehasya vastavam surupam yad shariram yad ashariram. Ashariram, it is, that is our identity, ashariram, without any body, right? So what is our actual surupam? It doesn't have a body. It doesn't have a mind. But then the body we are seeing here is not at the same time, right? And that is why yuktihina vastu prakasham. There is no logic in all this thing is concerned. As I said before, that we got so used to this sense perception. And due to whole life living in that way, only through senses what you see is the truth. This is strongly gone inside. this understanding, right? And you, whenever you are coming to spiritual life also, you are bringing that perception in you to look at Shastram in that way. And when Shastram says something, you are looking at the Shastram also through senses, through sense, not sensual perception. And then what happens? It's not fitting in properly. Because sense perception means mind, intelligence, these things. With mind and intelligence, if you study Shastram, you won't get very far. You won't make the progress what Shastram is supposed trying to create in us. If you want to transcend mind and intelligence, at some point in time, you have to come out of its grip. And more if you hear about the Vedanta philosophy, and especially Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, what will happen is, you will get that disconnection from the with the bodily concept of looking at things, with the bodily identity. Perception of seeing things through the body and the senses. You will become free from that problem. That's the first benefit. And you will start seeing, when you read Shastram, you will know at that time that this is beyond mind and body. As long as I am the bodily identity, these things will not work for me. This knowledge will not work for me. Right? So, that's what he's saying here, that yuktihina vastu prakasham, right? On the one hand, Shastram is saying this, but when you look through the eyes, everything is there. So this is the problem. When you look through the eyes, everything is there, right? And therefore, then you are saying, what can you do for that now? What can be done? Shastram says, there is no such thing called a body. That itself is something that has come due to prarabdham. It's a kind of a shell Maya has created around us to go through the prarabdham. And after that, the body will go, right? So, they have the example for that. That suppose you have had a dream, a very powerful dream, right? And in that dream, you have experienced some terrible distress in that dream. Yeah. And you experience that dream for a short period of time, and then you woke up suddenly from that dream. Yeah. What happened now? The effect of the dream has gone, right? So, that dream, what you experienced, and the suffering you experienced from that, it's called Brahma Darshanam. Brahmam it is. Mind has created a Brahmam inside you. It's called Brahmam. Right? That's what the dream has done. It created a Brahmam in you and you suffered from the Brahmam. In the same way, in the vacant state, this body is creating a Brahmam for us. And it is that Brahmam that comes out through these senses when you are seeing things. It's your own Brahmam. Brahmam, that's the right word for that. Yeah. So, and this body and all its problems are also like that. Created by this Brahmam, that this is real. That perception that it is real is the whole problem. Right? So, and you can understand this a little bit more if you look at the science, modern science, right? They say we have made so much progress in science, right? And in spite of all that, are we able to create a perfect body yet? They talk about this, their success in science, right? When you bring this scientific knowledge and compare it with Vedantam, it's nowhere near to that. Vedantam is much more deeper in all these things. Vedantam is saying, if you have such a good knowledge of this body, all acharyas criticize modern society for this. They're saying that you think you understand this body, don't you? You don't understand this body. And if you know this body so well, why are you not able to create a perfect body? If you are making such big declarations that you know about this body, that you know everything about this body, why can't you create a perfect body then? That has not happened yet, right? So, just Just like they created these robots, isn't it? Robot. With the nuts and the bolts and everything, you know, the robot moves. Now robot does all sorts of things. And you think that we are getting there. We are getting there, they're thinking. And a lot of people are fooled by this. By these robots and artificial intelligence and all. People think one day they will do it. One day they're going to do that. In this they are living like that, right? So that is all. Everything what Krishna has put into this body, right, what he has given us, right, it has got a lot of things in that to confuse us in this way. That is this mind and intelligence does, to confuse us in this way. And he will keep on doing all these sorts of things, and that is an adjustment in the body. Body is adjusting many times in different ways, right? When Krishna is saying to us, one who is dehabrit, nahi dehabrita shakyam, right? When Krishna says he will not be able to give up karma because of this dehabrit, right? What he is trying to say is, what he is trying to, Krishna is putting this through to our mind, that, and you have this dehabhimanam, identification with the body, dehabrit, that means one who has got identification with the body, they are called dehabrit. Dehabrit, right? Not the one who knows the soul. He is not dehabrit. You see the difference? It's very subtle. One who identifies with the body is dehabrit. Self-realized soul also has a body, but he is not dehabrit. Yeah? Because he has realized the self. He knows who he is, right? So, dehabrithena, dehabrit ajnena nashyatvam tektvam sanyasi karmani vinimeshatam. Krishna is talking about ajnani is here in this verse. One who identifies with the body, not about the self-realized one, who has also got a body, right? Ajnani cannot give up his karma. Ajnani cannot give up his karma. Not the case of jnani. Not in the case of jnani, right? For ajnani, karma tyagam is not possible, right? So, that is what it is mentioned in his Bhashyam also, commentary, yeah? He's saying here, Nahi yasmad dehabrado deham vibharti iti dehabrat. Dehātmābhimānavān dehabrat uchyate nahi viveki sahi veda vināshinam. If you look at the second chapter, you can see a lot of things spoken here is from the second chapter. Krishna has connected that with what he spoke in the originally when he started to Arjuna talking. Deha vināshinam, veda vināshinam, that verse, right? 221. You look at that verse, 221. Vedavināśana nityam ya enam ajam avyayam katham sa purusha partha kam khada yadi handikam. Vedavināśana nityam. So, sahi Vedavināśana ityadinam kartrutvam adhikaritam nivartita adhaten teha brada atyena na shakyam tyaktum sanyasidam karmani ashesha nisheshena tasmad yam tu atyena adhikaritam nityani karmani kurvan karma bhalatyagi, karma bhalabi santi matra sanyasi, satyagi, idi abhidiyade, karmi api sanidi, suti api prayena. So, so one who does not have bodily identification, jivan mukta, such a person, for him, there is no karma. For him, there is no karma. And if he works continuously here, he is not doing anything. That is what Krishna was saying there. A liberated person is also working. He can be doing whole time he is working. But He is not doing anything. He is not doing anything. And this is the state of a Jivan Mukta. And this is the principle on which Krishna is working. That's what Krishna was saying. Nahi Bhartasti Kartavyam Trishi Logeshu Kinsana. Krishna is saying, Krishna is someone who has done maximum here. From our eyes, if you look at it. Krishna was busy from day one till he left this world. And he says, I have not done anything. How is he able to say that? From day one he came to this world, right till the day he left, he has been busy doing things. And he says, I have not done anything. I have not done anything. He says, Nahi Parthasya Katrim Trishi Logeshu Kinshana. He says. So, Krishna's point is, even though he is doing work, he is not doing anything. And he gives the example, sun is the best example, the sun in the sky, right? He comes every morning and his sun sets, right? But due to heat, there may be good effect, bad effect, everything. But that doesn't affect sun, right? And Surya, Asheshava Tyagi, he says, for Tyagam, sun is the best example, right? He doesn't have any rest, is it? Right? Sun doesn't take Sunday off. Sunday also is working. Has he not? Sunday also is not taking time off work. Yeah, always he is giving the light and the heat, right? And sun is doing this all the time, right? And what are we doing? We are making this called science all the time. I am this, I am that. Chemistry, physics, all these things we say. And we keep on talking about this all the time, right? And then we are talking about bacteria, virus, and all science, what we have created in our world, what we have created, called bacteria, virus, our science. And he's feeling very proud about that. In Krishna's science, all these bacteria, virus, and all doesn't exist. Krishna, you have to come to Krishna's understanding of these things. Krishna is saying, in his creation, there are perfect examples. Sun planet is a perfect example for Karma Yoga. Never stops working, continuously working, but he is not doing anything. He is not doing anything, right? So, there are so many jokes about it to make us understand how foolish we are with our understanding of these things, right? So, these mosquitoes, right? They have a conversation with each other sometimes, right? So one mosquito says to another mosquito, don't give trouble to everybody like this. He said, you're going and biting everyone, right? So the other mosquito, he's a yuktivadi. He doesn't have any philosophy. You know the yuktivadi. Good things that everything works on logic, you know. They have strong faith in the logic. Logicians, they call it, isn't it? I think they are called logicians. Everything has to be logical for them. They are called logicians, right? So, that the other mosquito says, this is earth and it doesn't have any life in that. So, it's okay. And if you dig the earth from there, water comes out from the earth, right? And if you drink that water, you can live a pure life, right? And like that he was talking each other, two were talking to each other, right? So they were arguing that there is no such thing called a life or anything. And they were having this conversation with the mosquitoes. In the meanwhile, the person on whom this mosquito was sitting, he, because the mosquito bite was strong, he gave a slap on that. And that mosquito died. Mosquito died, right? At that time, this Yuktivadi is saying that this is a natural cause, this death. He's analyzing it. Mosquito's brain is working now. Like our scientific brain is working, mosquito's brain is working. Right? So this is where the difference comes. Every jiva, according to its body, it will have a certain capacity to think and to come to some conclusion. It will come to its own conclusions. So mosquito also, when they meet each other, they have their own world. And they make discussions about it, whom to bite, where to bite, and all kinds of things. They are also having their own world discussions and decisions making, like we do in our life, right? So Yuktivadi saying this, he says this is a natural thing, that is what has happened, that you died like this. It is a natural thing, it happened like it. So in the same way, we also say when the earthquake comes, tsunami comes, or some cyclone comes, or some forest fire comes, we also give an interpretation of that. We will say it's a high pressure developing here, low pressure developing there, and that is why this has happened. All kinds of interpretations. These big scientists and meteorologists living their big offices with big salaries, right? And so this is how the jiva state is like this, right? And at one time, more or less, we understood jiva in this way. Something has got life, something doesn't have life. That's how people used to talk about that, right? So we are not able to understand what jiva is. There itself there is a problem. What is jiva, right? So, and when someone is above us, higher than us, we won't be able to understand that jiva. See, the perception of jiva, you know, these people are sending to Mars and Moon and all that, other places, to find out is jiva there or not. That's their, what they are looking for. Elon Musk and his men, they are searching for jiva. Where is jiva there in the Mars? That's their big question. What they are saying is, in their perception of jiva, they want to see a jiva with two hands, two legs, or something like that, which is similar to our body. Someone who has got a body. That is their understanding of jiva. That is not the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Jiva is not defined in that way in Bhagavad Gita. One who has got two hands and two legs and two eyes and two nostrils and two ears. So, so initially, they will not accept that there is life in the plant, for example. They won't accept that initially. Now they have started agreeing with that, that there is life in the plant, right? So in their perception, jiva must have hands, legs and everything. Originally, first, initially, that was 50, 60 years back, it was like that, right? And then when the scientists slowly accepted there is life in the plant, because they started seeing plant is growing, how is it happening? So there must be some life in that. They started accepting that. Initially, they won't accept that. Similarly, the same principle they have. There's no life in the animals. Many people still believe like that. There's no life in it. You can kill them, eat them, whatever you like, you can do with that. That's coming from that thinking, right? So their understanding of jiva itself is like that. So imperfect it is, right? So initially they didn't accept that there is life in the plant. Now they have started accepting that, right? And then they're saying, if there is jiva in there, it should be like us, right? And it should speak English. The jiva should speak English in the plant also. So jiva means their perception of jiva, I'm saying, right? They will say like this about jiva, they don't have a clear understanding what jiva is. The way Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So they will only accept that there is life if it falls in line with their perception. Understanding. Otherwise they won't accept it. Right? So, this is the problem. Right? Whereas, rishis are saying, in the rock, in the stone, there is jiva. That's also jiva. That's also jiva. Right? Some animals or some insects, if you look at them, they will look like rocks. And they will be lying underneath the stones, and they are living there. Sometimes you see that, don't you? When you cut some trees or some, when the tree starts getting deteriorated, living entities comes out from inside. Where were they living? So their perception of jiva is like that, right? When you look at that thing, it will look like a stone, but life is coming out from that, right? As though you have put hands and legs, sorry, eyes and ears and everything to a stone, it will come out from there, inside. And similarly, trees also. When you see some of the trees, you may think, where is the life in that? But it has been growing for years and years. How was that happening? Right? And so, to clearly to say, between one species and another species, and where that margin is, where there is jiva and where there is no jiva, is not possible to say. This is Bhagavad Gita's point. Bhagavad Gita is telling us that you try to define jiva in your own way, it won't work. Like our people were doing, the scientists were doing before. Initially they said there is no life in the plants, no life in animals, only we have got life. Then they slowly accepted that there is life in the plants also. Now they are accepting that. That is after so many years of research and everything. They have come to that. Yeah. So, Shastram is saying, Bhagavad Gita is saying that everything is Chaitanyam. This is where Vedantam comes from. Everything is Chaitanyam, right? There is no such thing called Anatma. There is only Atma here, right? So, if you are a realized person, that is how his vision is. There is only Chaitanyam here. There is no Anatma here, right? And that person, if he has no body, right, or one who has self-realized, he is a Chaitanya Darshi. He only sees Chaitanyam everywhere, nothing else, right? And such a person, Krishna is saying, he has no karma. This is the one Krishna is driving at. Krishna's point, everything is from an absolute level, Krishna will speak, like the way he spoke in the second chapter, right? Atma, understanding Atma itself is a difficult thing for, based on, you see, this bodily identifying scientist who identify with the body. They do some research and through their senses they are conducting all these experiments and they are coming out some results from that. And whatever that is coming into their mind, they are forcing it upon others. And we are just repeating it. And when they change, we also have to change. They are also not permanent, their knowledge. Because another scientist will come and say something else after some time. And then we have to change our own. So it is like this, our knowledge. But Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying, there is no anatma here. Paramartha darshanam, when it happens, when pure Chaitanya darshanam comes, at that point, there is no anatma. So your perception of jiva itself is wrong. Jiva is not something depending on, you see, how you impose our mind on our knowledge what we are developing also. Because we see that one who has got life has got two hands, two legs, two eyes, two ears, a mouth, everything. So jiva must be like that, we think in that way. And we put that standard on to everything else. When you look at the tree, it doesn't have jiva because it doesn't have hands and legs like we have. Or the animals also, they were rejecting, but now they have started accepting all that over a period of time. But that is not. But Shastram is saying, in everything there is only Chaitanyam. Anatma doesn't exist. So defining jiva itself is a difficult thing in the Shastram. You see? To understand what jiva is. Yeah. So, Krishna is saying, there is only Chaitanyam here. There is nothing else, right? So that is what, such a person who has come to that state of seeing Chaitanyam everywhere, he doesn't have karma. In other words, when you say you have completely given up karma, means that state, that he is not bound by karma anymore, right? He has disconnected from all connections and he has become absolutely free. He has become absolutely free, right? And you cannot impose any more limitations on him. That means if you tell him this is a good karma, that's a bad karma, or karmam, akarmam, or kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, none of this is causing any limitation for him. And if you come to that stage, what will be the benefit? That's the next verse. You look at the next verse. Anishtam ishtam mishram cha త్రివిధం కర్మణా ఫలం భవత్యత్యాగినాం ప్రేత్య నదు సన్యాసినాం క్వచిత్ అనిష్టమిష్టం మిశ్రం చ. త్రివిధం కర్మణా ఫలం భవత్యత్యాగినాం ప్రేత్య నదు సన్యాసినాం క్వచిత్. కర్మం ఫలం కమ్స్ ఇన్ త్రీ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్ హి సేస్. సంథింగ్ యూ లైక్, సంథింగ్ యూ డోంట్ లైక్, అండ్ సంథింగ్ ఎ మిక్చర్ ఆఫ్ బోత్. ఇష్టం అనిష్టం, అనిష్టానిష్టం, ఇన్ దిస్ త్రివే అనిష్టం ఇష్టం మిశ్రం చ త్రివిధ కర్మణం ఫలం. రైట్, ఇన్ దిస్ వే కర్మఫలం కమ్స్ ఇన్ దీస్ త్రీ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్. రైట్, అండ్ వన్ హూ ఈజ్ డూయింగ్ కర్మం, సో వెన్ కృష్ణ స్పోక్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్డ్స్ అబౌట్ ఎ పర్సన్ లైక్ దాట్, కృష్ణ సేస్ హీ ఈజ్ ఎ సన్యాసి హూ ఈస్ ఇన్ దాట్ స్టేట్. సో బేసిక్లీ హీ ఈజ్ జీవన్ ముక్త. రైట్, నాట్ ఆర్డినరీ స్వామిజీ వి కాల్ స్వామిజీ. దర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ స్వామిజీస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, బట్ అమంగ్ ద స్వామిజీస్ హు ఆర్ జీవన్ ముక్తాస్, ఇట్స్ అబౌట్ దెమ్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్. జీవన్ ముక్త డజన్ హ్యావ్ కర్మం. సో వెన్ కృష్ణ సేస్ ఎ సన్యాసి ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ రెఫరింగ్ టు జీవన్ ముక్త, one who is liberated state, right, means one who has transcended all limitations. One who has transcended all limitations, nothing will bind him, and nothing will create kartrutva bhoktrutva in him or ragadvesham in him. He has reached that state of karma, doing karma, right, because he by any reason in everyone everything in everyone everything, if you are seeing it as Atma, then there is no kartrutvam anymore. That's a very higher state of consciousness, right? So when Krishna said all these things to Uddhava, Uddhava said, it's too much for me, he said, to understand all these things. And that is when Krishna told him, isn't it, visarjya smayamana and so on, visham ridamja dehigim pranamai dandavad bhumau asha chandala ghogaram. Uddhava, you have to get to that state. There is no other way. Yeah? So the same thing, dehigim, Krishna says, dehabrat, here he uses the word. Dehigim means dehabrat here. To Uddhava, Krishna uses the word dehigim. And here, Arjuna, he says dehabrat. Basically, it's one and the same thing. Whether you are a dehabrat or you are a dehigi, visarjya smayamana and swan drisham vridamja dehigim. The only option you have is praname dandavad bhumau asha chandala ghokaram. That you have to start seeing this way. Not only the human beings, even the animals, shava, chandala, cows, dogs, and everything, shava, karam, all of them as Krishna. Krishna is present in all of them, right? So, so when you start seeing like that, when you come to that stage, it cannot create any kartrutvam in you at that point, right? The example is that in our body, the blood is flowing, right? The blood is flowing all the time, right? But I am not aware of that, and I am not doing it either. I have no knowledge that this is happening in my body, is it? I have no knowledge that the blood is flowing in my body. Something is going on, and I am saying that this is my body, and I don't know what's going on in this body myself. I'm taking the ownership of this body, and I'm looking after this body, thinking it is mine. I'm looking after it, thinking it is mine. But I don't even know what is going on inside. This is how much I know this body. Right? So, but then who is making this circulation, blood circulation, right? The moment you leave the body, the circulation will stop. And who is you? Who is that you? Right? Atma. So actually you are running it, but you are not aware of that because of your identification with the body. Actually you are running the circulation because Antaryami is present inside, which is you. Therefore the blood is circulating. And you are not conscious of that. I don't know anything what is happening to the body inside, right? Blood is going on. Apparently doctors are telling it is pumping and it is so many miles, it's traveling every day, the blood. And all sorts of things they talk about it, don't they? They tell us all these things. But when it comes to, because there is Atma Bhavam in the body, in the cell, in this body, right? And I'm not feeling tired because of the blood circulation work. I'm not getting tired because this blood is circulating inside, right? In the same way, breathing also. I don't have to worry about it, that I have to be strong enough to breathe. I don't think like that. Breathing is going on in its own way, right? So, due to that, I'm not getting tired. Because of the blood circulation or due to breathing, right? Why does that happen, right? I'm not getting exhausted because Atma Bhavam has come. In other words, this identification with the soul, yeah, as far as breathing and blood circulation, evacuation and all concerned, I am not identifying with it. You understand? I'm not identifying with it. And because I'm not identifying with it, I'm not feeling tired with that. Even though I'm doing it. So identification causes all the problems. Whereas, when you do any work outside, you are identifying with your body that I am doing it. And when you do that work, you get tired. Whereas blood circulation, breathing, evacuation, digestion, all these things are constantly happening inside. And I'm not getting tired because of that. It's working in its own. Why? In those activities, I have Atma Bhava. That Atma is doing that. So, when you identify with Atma, you won't have this problem for any karma what you do through the body. So, getting that Atma Bhava, right? Therefore, Kartrutva Bhoktrutva is not there in that. In blood circulation, food digestion, or breathing, evacuation, all that, kartrutva bhoktrutva is not there. I don't get attached to it, do I? No ragadvesham there also. When you go to toilet, you don't come back with ragadvesham, do you? Whom will you have ragam? Whom will you have dvesham? If it happens, it happens. If it didn't happen, you have to come back and think about it, what to do next. That's how much you have relationship with it. Same thing with eating. So these activities which are happening in the body through the Atma Bhavam, it does not make you tired, right? Similarly, all other parts in the body, liver, kidney, they are all doing different things all the time, processing the food, right? So in this way, a lot is happening in our body. In it's the same way Krishna is running this whole creation. That's the Veshti-Samashti relationship. We, in our limited world, call this body, with Atma Bhavam, we are not tired, and this body is living, because Atma Bhavam is there, this body will stay here till its due time comes, when it has to disappear. Till then, this body will work in that way. Do you know what I'm saying? This body will keep working, whether I interfere or don't interfere, as long as its prarabdham will keep this here. And I don't have to take responsibility of that. And I know very well, even if sometimes I don't even know what the problem is in the body, what to do about it, then I go asking NHS and all other people to tell me what the problem with the body is. And they will tell me something. They'll say, you go to pharmacist will give you some medicine. And you take it. And so when you take it from the pharmacist, you don't have 100% faith. Does he know what he is doing? But then you take it. Or you go to GP. GP also, sometimes you're not very sure. When you see a young lad sitting there, newly came out from the medical college, he says, does he understand what's happening to my body? You are about 80 or 90 years old, and you're looking at this young lad, and what does he understand about this body? Anyway, he is doing what he has studied in the school or college, whatever he has studied. So he will tell you something and you are taking that medicine and some faith you are taking it. Either you may get cured or you may go back to final rest. So what I'm saying is that like the way this body is working, understand the body, how it works, right? Lot of things, we are not aware of that, how it works. Krishna knows that. Antaryami knows that. And he is doing that. Because why do we say he is doing that? Because the moment he leaves, this whole thing stops. So that means Atma Bhavam is there as far as body is concerned in many aspects. But when it comes to a karmam doing outside, Atma Bhavam goes away, Deha Bhavam comes. Ahangaram takes over at that time, and when we get into trouble, we get tired with that, right? So, in a similar way, but Krishna's case, whatever Krishna is doing here, as the Chaitanyam present in the whole creation, he conducts this creation and runs this creation and keeps it going and destroys it. When all these things happening, he is doing it like the way Antaryami is managing the bodily functions. You see? Without affected by that. That is Krishna's position. Krishna's position is like that. Krishna is present in everything, everywhere, in everybody. So when he is running this whole creation, not only this planet, this only one small planet for him, millions and trillions of planets, millions of universes, all this is running, run by that Chaitanyam in a similar way, like our Antaryami is doing all the things in this body. Right? So that is why actually Jiva is also called as Ishvara. Jiva is actually Ishvara. Ishvara. Because Ishvara is the one who is doing all these things inside. Right? In Bhagavad Gita we will say Ishvara has left the body. Right? So, and the same name, Ishvara and Jiva, you can use it either way. Because of this relationship between Ishvara and Jiva. Right? And that is why in that Bhagavad Gita's verse, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanadana Mana Shashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshadi. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And that verse, you can connect in the Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti, where she is saying there that Ishvaro Jiva Kalaya Pravishta Bhagavaniti. Ishvara, in the form of Jiva, has come Pravishta Bhagavaniti. All these are connected to each other. This understanding I'm saying. Of Bhagavad Gita and Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti, as well as that verse, what Krishna is talking about here. So, so Kapila Maharshi, Ishvara Jiva Kalaya Pravishta Bhagavaniti. Kapila Maharshi said this. Who is Jiva? When Devahuti asking that, he's saying Ishvara Jiva Kalaya. Ishvara has come as Jiva. And this is Shastra definition. What about the definition of our modern science about Jiva? Look at their understanding of Jiva and look at Rishi's understanding of Jiva. From that itself, if you have some common sense, you can see how poor this understanding is. Modern science understanding of life is. Modern science understanding of life is so limited. So limited in the sense, they think if the thing is moving, there is Jiva, they say. This is one way of looking at it. And then they are saying that they were questioning this. Their perception of Jiva is as Jiva got two hands, two legs, and two eyes, and two nose, two ears, and everything. If it is like that, it's a Jiva. It's like, otherwise there is no Jiva. This is how they were talking about it. Rishis are saying this. Actually, Jiva is not different from Ishvara. Ishvara himself is Jiva. Jiva is Chaitanyam. Ishvara is also Chaitanyam. Due to Vidya Avidya, there is this problem. This avidya causes all these problems. But once you take it, avidya from a jiva is Ishvara. It's not different from Ishvara. So, we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.